Advocacy really became a major focus for APA's affiliates, APHA's affiliates, around 2005. We were doing some planning and we kind of reforming what the Committee on Affiliates was doing, and one of the areas left out, it seemed to several of us in the room, was advocacy. And we felt that we really needed to have a true focus on it. So thanks to the work of Jeff Wilkinson, who is the former executive director from Massachusetts, we formed an advocacy work group and did lots of things. And one of the things that we did was we decided to really find out what was happening in the field. And we launched a couple of surveys of affiliates just to get a sense of what was happening. And then also advocacy has come up in terms of the Kellogg grants, the affiliate needs assessments for the Kellogg grants this past year. And what we tried to do with all of these is to get a better sense of what the affiliates were doing. Are they advocating? How are they advocating? And really, what are the needs that affiliates have? We found out that advocacy was definitely a priority. 50%, and this is based on our 2005 survey, 50% said it was a high priority, 34% said it was a medium priority. Only 9% said they didn't do it or said that it was a low priority. So we have a lot of activity and a lot of interest. In terms of organizational structure, there's great variety amongst affiliates in terms of how they've structured themselves to do advocacy. About 80% of them have a process for making decisions about advocacy. 74%, this is from the 2006 survey that was done, 74% of them have members or staff responsible for coordinating advocacy, either through a policy committee, an advocacy committee, a legislative committee, or just a board function. Only a few of them use staff as kind of oversight for advocacy. But I think this is based on 2005, and in 2005 we had fewer executive directors and staff for our affiliates than we currently do. Well, who is involved in advocacy activities? We have board members, individual members, staff, policy committee members, coalition partners, and organizational members. We've done a lot of stuff around trying to recruit more organizational members and partners and coalition members to really make a difference around advocacy. That was something that we found in our research. Well, the plate. Our plate as affiliates, it's always overflowing. I mean, we're really good at going to that buffet and just kind of getting a plate that we can't carry. But the policy plate is sometimes it's a side dish, sometimes it's the main dish. But most of us as affiliates say that we're working on a range of issues. But nearly a third of our affiliates have narrowed the scope of what we're doing in advocacy to just a few issues because we realize that we can't do everything and be everyone to everyone. We primarily work on state issues. 94% of our affiliates say that they work on state issues. 55% work on local or county issues. Less than half work on federal issues, 47%. Only 19% work on regional issues, and 3% work on international issues. It'd be interesting to tease that down a little bit more and find out what those issues are. And what are the types of issues that we work on? Tobacco control, that was the leader, and this is based on the 2006 survey that was done, followed by public health infrastructure and healthcare access, as well as the rest of these. That are noted here, and these are the top 10. There were more choices that people could make, but these were the top 10. Well, then let's look at what are the priorities for our affiliates, and the top three got rearranged a little bit, but they're the same. So we are placing more priority on public health infrastructure and healthcare access, and tobacco control, which has been, I know that's something that our affiliate and the New Mexico affiliate has worked a lot on, and you'll hear more about that in just a bit. But I think in terms of overall priorities, as affiliates, we're seeing that we probably need to work on some of the big infrastructure issues and healthcare access issues in addition to tobacco control. I think probably the fact that the issue, it was the number one issue that was being worked on, was just kind of reflective that there's been a lot of policy activity around tobacco use prevention and control efforts with statewide taxes and clean indoor air and tobacco settlement dollars. So I think that was a reflection in the issue ranking. So, and these are our other priorities. In terms of federal issues, these are all the federal issues identified in the 2006 survey in rank order, and all of us have really been working around the issue of trying to increase funding for public health. That's been one of the priorities for APHA, and that's really where we've been taking our direction, as well as Medicaid. And tobacco control has also been one of those issues that APHA has asked us to work on at the federal level, and so we have responded in kind and have done that. So affiliates have, using these issues, we've got lots of ways of trying to put our advocacy into action. The majority of our actions have been on kind of affiliate official action, like letters or calls on behalf of the affiliate. And this data is based from our 2005 survey. That's what we primarily do, that as well as generating calls and letters from our members. So the majority of us take that official action of writing an official affiliate response to an issue, and then we try to gen up the responses of our affiliate members to take action as well. About two-thirds of us are doing things like conducting legislative briefings or meetings or receptions to meet with legislators in a group setting and bring our issues to our legislative delegations. Slightly more than half of us testify at hearings. We develop educational materials, issue briefs, one-pagers on specific issues. And then more than half of us have really focused on coalition work. And two-thirds have indicated that coalition work is definitely an important part of our advocacy strategy, that we are realizing more and more that we must work in coalition, that it cannot be just us, that we have to gather our garner resources from other places because we don't have enough people, we don't have enough power, just ourselves. So we really must work in coalition. In terms of how strong we think we are in terms of our activities, about a third of us say that our efforts are effective. And this is based from the 2005 survey. Half of us say we're somewhat effective, but I think that shows that we've got a long ways to go, that we can become more effective. And kind of in tandem with that, what are some of the barriers to our efforts? The primary one is time. Big surprise there, time. You know, we're volunteer organizations. I mean, we're organizations comprised of volunteers. Some of us have staff, some of us don't. But still, to be effective, even if you have staff, it can't just be a single staff person doing this. We really need the buy-in and the time commitment from our members to do this. The second one, government employees that can't lobby. That one raises all kinds of issues for me. If people feel part of that, I think, speaks to the issue, and I know that some affiliates are structured this way, that their affiliate membership is very much tied to their work. And I think that can explain some of that real barrier. But some of it, too, I think is an educational opportunity to make sure that people understand that on their own time, using their own email accounts and their own phones and everything else, that they can definitely, they're citizens and they definitely should be involved in the process. So I think that's an opportunity for us. Too few people. We just don't have enough of us to really make a difference. Nearly half of us said that. And lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge perhaps about the process and being effective advocates, as well as maybe lack of knowledge about the issues. And we might not feel comfortable, even though we're the public health experts, we might not feel completely comfortable in making that pitch to a policymaker. So that's, I think those are some interesting findings. And again, this is based on what we did in 2005. So we definitely have an overwhelming number of people that are interested in strengthening the capability and capacity of our affiliates to be effective advocates. 81% said, yes, we think we should do this. And more than half of our affiliates indicated that they would really like to have some sort of technical assistance from APHA, either from staff or volunteers. And that's been evolving, and I think with the capacity building initiative, I think that for funded as well as those states that did not get, or affiliates that did not get funding, we're going to have definite technical assistance to support our affiliates on this, because this is a clearly identified priority for APHA. And we also found in the most recent round of the surveys for the capacity building initiative that the affiliates did earlier this spring, that it's in building leadership and building capacity to do legislative work, it's in the top 10 of issues of needs for technical assistance. And of the 10 regions that we have in the Committee on Affiliates, the groupings of the priorities, 7 of the 10 of them had had advocacy and legislative work as a priority. So clearly, this is something that people want. So in conclusion, through these different surveys that we've done and trying to find out what our affiliates are thinking, we know that advocacy is definitely important to our affiliates. We know that what we do around advocacy, our efforts as well as our effectiveness is quite varied from affiliate to affiliate, and that we also need to make sure that there's a commitment for support for training and other tools to help bolster both APHA's advocacy and policy success as well as the success of our affiliates. And I just want to let you know that in some of the Committee on Affiliates meetings that I've been attending, I hear this repeatedly. I'm a new member for the COA, so this is kind of all new to me. But I have been hearing from our leaders, from our overall APHA leaders, that we are in the affiliates. We're the roots, the backbone of what is needed for advocacy, and if we aren't strong, they can't be strong. And we've done some amazing things to really help strengthen that. The number of responses that have been going out through CAPWIS, and year before last, I think we were at around 7,000 people, clicked through and contacted their member of Congress through a CAPWIS alert. We've doubled that in the past year because we've been talking about this. So I think the fruits of our labors are starting to pay off, but we still have a long, long ways to go.